Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Christy Norris with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving both Missouri and Kansas with 13 locations. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage, making dreams come true when closing at a time. That's why Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we're at the end of the year. And something we did last year that we really enjoyed and we think our listeners enjoyed is we did a mashup of episodes from that year. So we took a few snippets that were just really golden nuggets and mashed them up here. And so you're going to get to hear a bit from, seven or eight different episodes that we took snippets from.
Yeah, and we don't want you to think that we played favorites here, but because we had so many great guests in 25, and we appreciate all of you, and we get feedback on everybody. Believe it or not, it is amazing for us to hear what part and what segment of each of those episodes with our guests were highlighted with our listeners, and they text us, and they call us, and they stop us, and they tell us. So we want to tell all of our guests, thank you, that we appreciate you being on the podcast. And we appreciate you listening to the podcast. But as we lead into these seven episodes or so, we're just going to give a small snippet of that person on that episode, that guest, and what they provided. So we will start with the episode on March 19th with Katie Towns. She is the, and I won't say this right, the Greene County Health Department.
Yes, the head of the Greene County Health Department.
CEO. Yes. So she is a friend of ours, and Katie was lucky enough, and that's the portion of this episode that you will hear. She was lucky enough to lead Springfield and the surrounding counties through COVID and the pandemic, and she gives us her reasoning as to why she thinks that was a gift. So you'll definitely want to hear what we pulled out and what she said about that. Episode on June 11th of 25 was our premier sponsor, Great American Title, and talking everything title work. And they really gave Angie and I an education. I mean, we do this for a living.
Right.
And we learned so much in that episode. So a couple of the things that we pulled out of there was, how do you sell a property out of a trust? What are they going to need from you? And what happens when they discover a cloud on your title? So in going back and re-listening to that, I even learned some other things that I, you know, now remember learning at that time.
Right.
So it was
a
great episode. And then on August 13th, we had John Perry, the Nixa High School football coach in Nixa. And he is an inspiration to
just
anybody and everybody who listens to him.
Yeah.
So he talks about many things on that podcast, and you should go back and listen to it for some inspiration for the new year. But he talks about adding value to others, and that is so important, and you can do it in such small, kind ways. So go back and listen to that.
Yeah. And then there are a couple episodes that Tanya and I did ourselves, and on September 10th, we talked about risk management, mostly from a broker standpoint and what that means, but also as an entrepreneur, how you have to protect your assets and your business. And so we'll have a couple of snippets from that. Then also on September 24th, we've got Angie Wiley, who is a mindset coach. And the Nixa Eagles just went to, we interviewed Coach Perry and Angie Wiley is part of that team.
Went to the state championship.
And went to the state championship. Yeah. Didn't win, but we'll talk, you know, there's some real, again, gold nuggets in what Angie has to say about how you should position yourself in terms of gratitude and what your mindset should look like. Then on October 15th, we did an episode about change and transition. Tanya this year, or this past year, went closed her business and merged with Murnie, and I had to make a big shift in location. So we've got some tips that we think were good takeaways from that. And then finally, on November 12th, Jocelyn Baldner, and we had so many, so much feedback. People continue to reach out to us and tell us how much they enjoyed that episode. And she is the CEO of Central Bank and just really enjoyed that conversation. So we hope that these little snippets will encourage you to go back and listen to the full episodes. And again, we want to thank everyone who was on the podcast and gave of their time and energy to be here and let us interview them. So for the greater good of 417.
Yeah. And we want to wish you all a happy new year. We hope that you've had a great year. We're looking forward to the next year, and we hope you enjoy this mashup.
That's right. Thank you, as always, to Great American Title as our premier sponsor and to Gershman for letting us use this beautiful studio and recording with us.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Number one, I started, you know, probably, I've tried to nail down the date, and I don't really know the date, but it was probably 16 or 18 years ago, I decided that I would wake up every single day of my life and read for a minimum of 30 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half, depending on the day of the week. And I've probably not missed a day in 18 years. Like, I have read on average 100 books a year. So if you take the formula that one of my mentors taught me, K minus A equals zero. Knowledge minus application means absolutely nothing. So if you were to read, you know, 18,000 books and not try to go serve somebody else, what good does it do you? You know, so I think being service minded, like wanting to make a difference in this world. I mean, I got three core values that, you know, are personal, and they are curiosity. I want to stay curious. I want to learn something every day, serve others, and make a difference. So then when you add what the reading's done, it's given me the ability to get in front of people. And then, you know, my thought is this, and it happens every time you get the opportunity to speak. You're not going to change, you know, 500 people's life at a think something, but you're going to change somebody's. Like, you're going to touch somebody. There was a lady, as I'm leaving that day, going out the door, there's an elderly lady that catches me. Coach. And I'm like, we got a flag football game, so I'm trying to hustle out. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. She says, I just want you to know, I hate football. I hate football. I'm like, well, I hate it too someday. She said, but boy, I needed that talk today. Like, that was so good. You know, and I thought, my thought is, I just want to help somebody wake up the next day a little bit more motivated than they were the day before, because I feel like too many people are missing out on the greatness of life. Yeah. I think too many people get on the treadmill of life and they live the same ragged day, 365 days a year, instead of, man, make each day your masterpiece. Like, be awesome. Like, be great to other people. When I said we're an event to other people, if we go through the grocery store, my wife will get annoyed with this sometimes, but when we check out, if the lady has purple hair, like, I'm going to make a big deal. I'm going to be like, that's the most beautiful purple hair I've ever seen in my life. Like, that is awesome. Right. Because somebody's, I just want to, I want to put a smile. Yeah. I want to add value in this world. So the speaking thing, just, I've been blessed to be asked a time or two. And then from that, it's grown. And I have, like, we're going Friday to Moberly, Missouri for the Missouri Community Colleges Day. And, you know, we've got two big ones this summer in Mississippi. Like, we have gotten a lot of opportunities. And to me, that's a blessing. Like, I love doing it because I love adding value. And, you know, and it helps me. It's just like this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, this podcast makes y'all better because you have to do the research to be ready and prepared. Well, when you go speak in front of 500 people, you have prepared, you know, like, you have you have done your work to try to not go out there and embarrass yourself, which still sometimes happens. But, you know, it has been, I've really enjoyed that. And I, you know, I don't know what will come of that down the road, but it's fun and I enjoy doing it. And if I can add value to somebody, I'm sure going to try.
Title work gets pulled and it's in a trust. What documentation do you need for that property to be sold out of that trust?
The only thing that we require is the most simplified answer is a certificate of trust. So all that is something an attorney would prepare. And they basically would state the name of the trust and who the trustees of the trust are. If they're able to, you know, sell the real estate in the trust, that sort of thing.
Right.
Sometimes that is not prepared. And so then there are certain sections of the trust that we would ask to get a copy of.
Okay.
But we do have to have either or, because we have to know that it's okay, you know, who can sign and that it's okay to do this.
Okay. And then buying in a trust, do you need any part of the trust to be able to purchase in the trust?
Same thing, either the certificate of the trust, which the most important thing for buyers is either the certificate of the trust or a section in their trust agreement should spell out how they should hold title to the property.
Okay.
That's very important. You know, and that and that the trust has the powers to purchase, mortgage, real estate, you know, et cetera. So you want to see the powers of the trust, who the trustees are, and how they should hold title to real estate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to back up. I knew there was two things I wanted to ask about.
Okay.
And I remembered one. Okay. And I forgot the other. The other was, let's say that title work comes back and there is a problem. What is your process? Do you pick up the phone and call? What's your process for handling that?
We would pick up the phone and call. We're going to try to solve that without involving anyone else, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes we do have to go back to the previous title company that did the, the sale. Mm-hmm. And so they would have probably issued the owner's policy. Mm-hmm. And then we would rely on them to assist us. But I would say, we try to solve it on our own without going that direction.
Mm-hmm. And does it happen a lot that you have to go back to that previous owner's policy?
No, most problems we can solve.
Okay.
It's something easy to solve as long as you can find all the people. I would say that's your hardest thing is when you're going back in the chain, maybe a couple owners, that can get difficult. But if you start calling and you start asking, people know people, you know,
and you're right.
Most of the time it can be solved with some work, a little bit of work.
Yeah.
We talk about leadership and real estate a lot on the podcast, but focusing on leadership, it is, people are going to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, even if you don't, like you said, the inflection or the emphasis you put on the word pandemic or whatever the case may be, they're looking for something. And all you can do at the end of the day is realize it's not about you.
Right.
It's not about you. It's about doing the best you can in the role that you're playing and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was one of the things that I was mentioning I would do differently is that I felt such responsibility all through, that time of just how much that weight of these are people's lives. It's their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. I mean, the business part just understanding and feeling that impact, like that was just crushing to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that at the end of the day, though, it's like you learn as you go through something this painful that at the end of the day, you don't get to control these outcomes.
No,
you do the best with your best intention.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is kind of for life to take care of, you know? So, you're spot on.
Yeah. This is, I think, one of the hardest things for people is they are so worried about themselves and what their response is going to be
that
they do not fully listen to what the other person is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I like your answer to that. So if you were doing all those things and you were being a good listener, then you would possibly create stronger relationships.
Sure.
Okay, so a spouse or a significant other is a good example right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a terrible listener and your spouse comes home every night and you are distracted with whatever you're doing and they're telling you about their day and you're like, yeah, oh, really? Oh, great. Oh, how'd that make you feel? Wow. Though you're not listening, you're not engaged, you're just appeasing the story from your spouse. So they're not going to feel very valued.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes with any relationship. If you're listening, then that person is going to feel like you value them and you value what they're saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
times, right. you know, it's like I might start working with someone and they're stuck in a position. Mm-hmm. And they may not feel like they're worthy of that next
yeah.
position, you know, or the sure. next step up. And mm-hmm. so, but the one thing that we take a look at is what is your blueprint, right? And that's like a personal blueprint that you have. And it basically is what beliefs do you have about yourself?
Okay.
And so we do take a deeper look at that because you will never outperform the beliefs that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't believe you can hit your next level, you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to take action. You're not going to move forward because mm-hmm. you have that deep-seated belief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same whether you're an athlete or a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take a look at what beliefs do you have. And those beliefs start getting shaped on our lives very early, right? And to
right.
what you said, it can yeah. be school experiences, it could be teachers, it can be coaches, it can be parents, your family life.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
when people have told you that you're not good enough, you're
mm-hmm.
not capable, you are horrible at this, then people will take on those as beliefs. And when
mm-hmm.
you have a thought and you've thought it long enough, it can become a deep-seated belief, and it may not even be true.
True,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Most of them are mm-hmm. not, if they're negative, most of them are not true.
Yeah, right.
Right? We've taken them on mm-hmm. because of our outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's doing the work and really being honest with yourself and taking a look at what beliefs do you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start working on shifting them and understanding and knowing that you can start, you know, and it's not a jump, right? Because you're not going to go from down here to up here, but it's starting to tell a better story.
Mm.
Where you can kind of like start climbing that ladder,
yeah.
if you will,
mm-hmm.
Out of, and it's really, so it can be like a slow shift of your beliefs. But as your beliefs increase and as your beliefs shift, you're going to be more willing to take the action
mm-hmm.
to do mm-hmm. like, you know, your beliefs are going to change. And again, a belief is just, it's a thought that you've had over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you think that it's real,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. but many times it's not.
Yeah.
So the stress of telling our agents
yeah.
has been a huge burden.
Yeah.
And once that burden was lifted, Shannon and I could just look at each other and say, okay, we can breathe now. They all know.
One more step closer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're here for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to walk this with them
mm-hmm.
because we have to do all the rebranding and everything
mm-hmm.
just like they do.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we walk through those new doors together, reforming and committing our business
mm-hmm.
to that rebranding and
mm-hmm.
and what that looks like for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. I think there's a couple of underlying things there that I just really want our listeners to take away from that. First of all, your point is you make the decision, you got to go with it. If you start letting fear creep in and you start backpedaling,
yes.
it can be one of the worst things you ever do. You make the decision and you move forward with it.
Yes.
And luckily it turned out it took time, but it was a good decision and you could move forward. But there will be times during that process where you will start to second guess yourself
yes.
or question yourself.
Yep.
And you just have to move forward because once the decision is made, I think there's some relief that initially comes from making a decision,
yes,
right? You get
right.
that initial relief.
Right.
And then there's this big stress that comes on about, okay, I made the decision. Now how are we going to implement that? How are we
mm-hmm.
going to make that transition? And somewhere along the way, I think some people get lost in the fear and it becomes crippling and they can't move
yeah.
forward.
Yeah.
So you just have to push through. You
yeah.
just have to keep moving. And so you had different hurdles. You made the decision and then, you know, you had your sit down with Murnie, and then the next step you had to tell your agents, and you'd been sitting on this for a while
yeah.
because you had to make those decisions much in advance.
Yeah.
So that you could plan and help them try to make that decision and bridge that gap.
Exactly. And I just want to point out two things that, yes, to your point, I had a night of panic.
Mm-hmm.
The night before we met with them, I had a night of panic, woke up the next morning. I was like, are we doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. I'm scared to death. I mean, my heart was racing. I was thinking of all the negatives. So the negative crept in.
Right. Yeah.
And I probably shed some tears that night of mm-hmm. what am I doing? And, mm-hmm. and you know, God, show me that I'm not making this decision on my own. Show me that it's you mm-hmm. that are leading here. Mm-hmm. You're in charge.
Yeah.
And the next day I had to get in front of Shannon and he said, it's all good. This is where we're going.
Yeah.
We've made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And so hearing his confidence behind it, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're moving forward. So the panic does creep in.
Yeah.
And the other point I wanted to make was that when you do decide that and those moments of panic creep in, I think you have to look for all of the positives. You have mm-hmm. to remind yourself mm-hmm. of why you decided to do this in the first place.
Right.
And you and I have talked about the why before. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I have a picture in packing up my office. I have a picture on my desk. And we actually got it at an event that we went to together. And I believe it was a ladies who launched, but it was a picture frame. And it says something to the effect of, this is my why. Uh-huh. And I have a picture of me and the girls and one baby in it.
Yeah.
And I looked at that, and that's a great reminder. You know, you have to put things in front of you to keep you moving forward.
Yes.
And to continue to remind you that you're on the right path, Tanya. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I've always been very vulnerable as a leader and tried to be as transparent as possible. So I think raising your hand when you don't know something is critically important. Mm-hmm. Don't pretend, don't be embarrassed that you don't know. You need to just establish that up front. And it's okay, because most likely there's multiple people around the table that feel the exact mm-hmm. same way that you do. Mm-hmm. And if you can be the first to jump out and say something, you're demonstrating leadership.
Yes.
Give people the benefit of the doubt. Everybody wants to do a good job. I truly believe everybody really wants to do a good job. I think it's easy to judge and think, you know, well, they did this because, you know, they don't care. Most likely not. So mm-hmm, give people the benefit of the doubt in the positions that they are. You know, for me, I genuinely love to lead people and develop people. And I think you really have to have a heart for people if you want to be a leader. Yeah. You mm-hmm. have to genuinely care about people. And if you don't, and you want to truly be an individual producer, and that's what you want to do, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But you need to know it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that leadership is somewhat of a higher calling, because you're responsible for other people. Mm-hmm, and if definitely. You can become comfortable with allowing a team of people's results be your results, then maybe you're meant to be a leader. But if you're not comfortable with that, then you probably shouldn't be a leader, because I think it's hard to be a leader at times, but it's one of the most rewarding things. And people can detect disingenuousness from Absolutely. A long way away. And so I think you do really truly have to have a heart for people. Mm-hmm. Those would be the three.
Definitely.
And take every crap job, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
It teaches you. It teaches you so much, and it exposes you to opportunities that you probably would not have otherwise if you're willing to jump in and do the things that other people are not.
Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.